I'm Rumi.
I'm Jamie.
And I hear you're in a band. What would that band be called?
The XX.
Okay, so let's start right there with one of the most obvious questions. I'm more curious about what some of the most bizarre things people have done with that name are so far. What are some of the things, how have people managed to mangle such a simple name?
We've had XX Chromosome, we've had Kiss Kiss, we've had relation to pornography, we've had quite a few different interpretations, but I guess we like that it kind of has that. You can make what you want of it, but it wasn't intentionally to be that way, but it's just been quite funny that people have put so many different, takes on it, I guess.
And we'll start with the one that everybody knows, that there is the Elliott School and that you met there, correct?
Well, all three of us attended Elliott School, which is a secondary school in Southwest London, and it's a very normal school and is very much just a very average type of place. And I guess it was only since leaving there we realised that people had sort of related it to other bands and stuff, but we weren't really aware of it then. That's where Oliver and I have been friends since nursery school, since we were 3 years old, and then we met Jamie at Elliott School, and when we were about 14 or 15, we were doing a GCSE music course, and we just sort of were all getting into music heavily as like a passion, going to see live bands, starting to play instruments ourselves, and then I guess from that we used to just jam in the music room, never really very seriously, and we had a multi-tracker at the school. I was kind of more drawn to that as opposed to the computer side of things, and so I got on for my 16th birthday and I started to do some home recordings, and then Oliver and I started the XX from that. It was just us two, and then from then on we started to play some gigs, and we asked Jamie if he would live drum for us because he drummed at the time, and he said no.
So I didn't actually join the XX until about 3 years after it started. I attended many of their gigs before I joined, but I just never wanted to be on stage. So I started producing some of their live beats, and for my 19th birthday I got a sampler called an MPC, and I went along to a rehearsal and just started playing along, and it seemed to work. So from that point on, I was part of the XX.
Well, in the beginning, because we were sort of more, I guess, stuck in the mind frame that was not a band sort of set up. You had a drummer, a bassist, guitar player. And at the time, Jamie was playing live drums. But it was kind of, he always says he didn't feel comfortable to play it. I mean,
I just wasn't good enough to be innovative. And there's so many good drummers in bands that I didn't think I could do it justice, basically. But I think the whole electronic side of things came from me not wanting to drum and them having to make their own beats. And in a roundabout way, it just kind of worked out for everybody.
Certain places, in whether they're music schools or just schools, like you said, that was a normal school, but yet it has bred, I don't want to say a certain type of musician, but in some ways, I can draw some lines between Hot Chip and you. And do you think there's something in the water at the school?
Maybe. I guess, I think for me personally, I'm not sure about the rest of the other bands and stuff, there was a sort of an element of freedom which could also be given as an element of neglect that went on, in the sense that we weren't watched the whole time about what we were doing, and I kind of, there was a lot of people, there were a lot of, students in our class that probably needed more attention on their behaviour than we did. We were quiet and we just were left alone to do our own thing, and I think in that we kind of weren't pressured and just sort of created on our own and just without guidance, and we did start teaching ourselves instruments and things, and that's how I learnt guitar. I didn't have lessons from the school, but it was, and I think, I'm not sure what the relation between Elliott and all the bands are, but
the school is in Southwest London, and that's where like the new electronic dance music scene emerged from, like Croydon and Brixton and basically all the areas that we grew up in, so it probably had some influence on the electronic side of the bands that came out of Elliott.
Tell me some of the worst covers that you did.
We covered Wham, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, that was the first one of ours. Then we covered Pixies, Where Is My Mind, and Pixies, Gouge Away. Apart from that, they've all been pretty I don't really cringe over them, but Wham was an interesting one. I don't know why that happened.
Why was that a choice?
I don't know why. I think it was in the very beginning with Oliver and I, it kind of, when you're singing with your best friend, it's kind of, it can be quite a scary thought to sort of be like, you know, this is my voice and we're taking ourselves very seriously. You know, it wasn't like that at all. We were sort of making fun of it. You know, we were trying to, it was kind of, it started as a bit of a joke really, just with more lighthearted. So we just, I guess, chose a random cover that we could laugh about. And somewhere along the way, it started to get more serious.
So what do you think about the fact that it's very easy now for the press to suddenly take a lot of these XL bands and try to make a scene out of it?
Personally, I don't think we've ever seen ourselves as part of a scene. And I mean, there are a lot of scenes that emerge in London, but it just didn't seem that we didn't grow up like with any other musicians, you know, like bands, and we only met other bands in London after gaining some sort of success. So I still can't really see a scene that we're in.
What's really interesting about this music is how people have taken to it. And what I mean by taken to it is this music's already been very, very, very successful. And in a world where you're not selling millions of records, when you were making these songs, you did grow up, you know, you're young. You grew up in this era. So when you're composing songs, I'm not concerned about how you sit down and compose the songs, because again, people can read that. Did you pay any mind to all the interesting places other than just being on the radio or being played live these songs would go?
I didn't even think they'd ever be played on the radio. I didn't think anybody would hear them apart from maybe the three of us. And I never even comprehended it would be on Gossip Girl. So I think everything that, you know, has happened and everything we've, all the sort of syncs and things that we've had have been a different, something I didn't expect and definitely didn't write for. But, you know, I think if it's done well, it can be good. But it was never on my mind.
One of the great quotes that I saw in another article, and it really appealed to me, is that you said, you know, that you're still getting used to all of this, that the fact that this is all happening is kind of surreal in some ways. And as an example, you were listening to Doll Parts and now you hear that Courtney Love is listening to you.
To be able to meet someone that you've grown up listening to, it has happened a few times now, and is something that kind of blows my mind continuously. You know, just, I can't, you know, you grow up really just sort of being a fan of music, and then you actually meet the person that made it, and it's, you know, they're just another person, and it's interesting. But I never would have dreamed that would have happened, and it has all been a very big shock, and we are still getting used to it. I guess I've always loved the music and had faith in it, but I never sort of could have imagined how far it would have taken us, and I feel very grateful, but it's very overwhelming.
You're producing a record, and you do that, and you're in your environment, and we'll get to the studio in a second because I think it's relevant to chat about that a little bit. Then you're performing it live, and that's all very new and kind of scary, and I guess big festivals kind of, you know, get you over your shock really fast.
I think it's taken us a long time to get slightly comfortable on stage, and I still don't feel like I can completely let loose on stage. And I think for me, the big festivals are the really scary things, because I don't have to stand at the front in the club gigs and face people, you know, face to face. So at Coachella, when there was like 30,000 people, that's probably the most scared I've ever been before a gig.
I mean, I agree. In some respects, playing gigs to 50 people in a room or doing in-stores scares me more, because you have complete eye contact, especially in an in-store where it's, you know, bright lights and everything, and it's like singing into someone's eyes. It can be very, you know, I've always been very shy about singing, and I didn't let anyone hear me sing until I was about 16, and so I think in some ways playing the bigger stages I can relax more, just because I can't see everyone's eyes. But I don't know, I don't think we're used to it at all.
This is not a typical rock and roll album. This is not a typical dance beats album. It really, I think reviewers are working very, very hard to try to put it someplace. So in that whole mix of things that got into your head, you know, you've made a really pretty album. you know, and that's the word that I use when I get on the air. I go, wow, that's pretty. You know, that's a gorgeous song. You know, VCR is a, you know, is definitely, you know, classic simply because, not because it sounds like a classic, but because you've made something your own. So are you aware when you listen to your own stuff that you've done that?
I'm very sort of content with the album that we made. I think I don't look back on any song and sort of wish we'd done something differently, which I feel, as I think all of us are perfectionists, is kind of quite a big thing, because we went back over it a lot of times and really went through all the songs and really thought about each part.
XL was in its early that particular studio was in an interesting form when you recorded in it, right? It was a pretty threadbare situation to a great extent. What kind of decisions were made? Were they made based on the songs themselves? Were they made because you had some things that you loved that you wanted to emulate?
The general, like, overall sound of the album was based on the original demos, which had a lot of just kind of noise and mistakes in them that kind of made them special. So when recording, we try not to focus on making everything sound completely perfect, but we just wanted, you know, all the instruments, because there's such a small amount of instruments, we had to make each instrument sound perfect in its own way, but kind of perfectly imperfect. And the fact that the studio was in such a minimal state kind of benefited us as well, because we never had much equipment, and that kind of influenced the minimal outcome of the music.
I don't feel like anybody that we work with in our record company would sort of feel like they would want to push us to do something we didn't want to do or to overproduce it. And I think if they did, we would definitely say no anyway. I really think that I'm sure that what's going to... whatever comes next, we want it to be very natural, from just not overthinking it, and just a sort of a natural progression from, you know, we've heard a lot more music since we've been touring, we're better at playing our instruments, but I still think we need to, you know, we like the simplicity, and the simplicity wasn't actually thought out. It was because we couldn't play the instruments very well. It was simply because that's all we had, and so I think we're definitely going to take note of that now, and we really, really enjoy that. So it's just we have to be conscious of it, but I don't think it's going to be anything we make will be overproduced.
We've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. We take two of your songs as the bread, and then we take songs by anybody else you want to play in between, and you get to tell me what you want to play now, and I am now under moral obligation to play it exactly as you ask me to play it.